It's time now for Empowered Family Talk with Francita Hallris.
Do you want to empower families and young people in your community? Then take the time to make a tax-deductible contribution to the Coach Tate Fund. The Coach Tate Foundation is dedicated to helping young people and their families in learning and passing on the kinds of life skills that we all need to succeed. All too often, we hear about kids and their families having encountered life's difficulties that could have been easily avoided by knowing better decision-making skills, from anger management to money management to something as simple as learning to manage how we spend our time or how we use our job skills. Make a donation to the Coach Tate Fund. It'll help kids who need help and their families too. Make your contribution to the Coach Tate Fund. Get details at www.coachtatefoundation.com. And oh, by the way, thank you.
May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Good morning. It's family time, and welcome back to Empower Family Talk right here on Praise 107.9, Jacksonville, Florida. We the people, paying it forward in this 21st century as we come together to balance these scales of justice within our finances. Our money. Are we ready? Good morning, Marcus. How are you today?
Good morning, Francine. I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing great, and I'm so excited about our topic today. We have a great topic, and I know we're going to have some good tenets to leave with our listeners. And Marcus, do you mind if I take a second here to we have a quote to as a preamble for our discussion. May I, Marcus, please?
Yes, please.
Okay. I encourage our listeners to read in their quiet scripture time Hebrews 13:5, Proverbs 10:22, and Proverbs 13:11. And this is the quote, gentlemen, that we have received for our thought process today and our listeners. And it goes as such, quote, basic mathematics began in the Garden of Eden. God instituted addition and multiplication. 1 + 1 = 2, which is our common denominator. When the deceptive sin took place with the serpent, then entered division and subtraction, individually and collectively. And ever since, our mathematical formulas, created from the basics, have become ever so more complex, crafted in corruption and greed. Today, we must go back to our future with our financial literacy, unquote. Now, Marcus, let's talk about our finances with our subject matter expert today that you will introduce to our listeners.
Yes, Francine, I have on Mr. Patrick Yankee. He is a good friend of mine, great client. He is very successful. He works for Raymond James. He's done a lot of good in the community, and I wanted him to come on and talk about financial literacy and just share some very basic information with people about how it's important to be able to make that a priority in your household, no matter how old you are, what age you are. The more you start learning about financial literacy and the importance of that aspect, Francina, I think that's going to really only help make you a better person and a better, you know, individual in the new America. So again, Mr. Patrick Yankee, thank you for joining us today, sir.
I appreciate the invitation.
Always, always. So Francina, you want to start out with a question for Patrick and then kind of go from there?
Well, Patrick, we keep it very simple. Could you share with our listeners what is one of the key tenets in financial literacy? Many of our children didn't get the financial literacy that we had. What would be your advice today for healthy financial lifestyle? within our households. Mr. Yankee.
Well, I think it starts with budgeting. If we look around the country, whether it's at the municipal level, the state level, or the federal level, we've got a big problem with understanding how budgets work. You know, before we can truly have any sort of financial literacy or financial plan, it starts with knowing what comes in and what goes out and how to balance
right.
the scales on that. What are our sources of income? What are our sources of expenses? And how do we make those work to where we have more income, even if it's only $1, than expenses? So too many of us are deficit spending with more going out than is coming in. And we seem okay with that. We pile on the debt. We excuse the debt. We manage the debt. We declare bankruptcy. We move on and we try again. But the basics of a sound financial plan begin with not spending more than you make.
I like that, Mr. Yankee, particularly with our kids. I don't know about you and Marcus, but as a child, you know, my father really stressed the importance of a dollar. Just basic, you know, you have a dollar, we're going to the store. What you desire costs 50 cents. You're going to have to 50 cents less. You're going to put 25 cents in a savings piggy bank over here. It's just the basics. And this is the core tenet of our success and profitability in the 21st century. Marcus, how do you feel about that financial education in the home, as Mr. Yankee just expressed? One plus one equals two.
Oh, I think Mr. Yankee is 100% correct. You know, my father had a degree in business management and a master's in economics from the University of Maryland. He went to Howard for his undergrad. And I'll always remember him telling my brother and I, just because you earn $100,000 doesn't mean you can go out and spend $101,000. Because if you make $100,000 and you spend $101,000, you've got nothing. You have nothing to show for it. And mm-hmm. that's something that we really got a lot of information, a lot of knowledge at a very young age. So as I grew up and I went to, you know, being a teenager, I got to college, I got to the National Football League, I knew the value of a dollar. I knew, and I tell people all the time, and Patrick knows me, when we talk about this on Monday when I saw him playing golf, you know, a lot of people don't understand that it's very difficult to make money, but it's so easy to spend money. It really is. Like, you know, my wife is a teacher. She gets paid once a month. So, you know, if we didn't have me, who's an entrepreneur doing different things, and my wife talked about this, and Patrick knows this, Francina, my wife used to get paid $2,200 a month as a teacher before she met me. And that time, she had to pay her mortgage, had to pay her car bill, she had to pay her bills, all this type of stuff. And she said all she was wanting was to have $100 more at the end of each month that she put away. So she understood the importance of it. But like she said, if something breaks, like an air conditioning or a door, you need to repair something, that's when she had to go into her savings, and then she'd see that depleted. So again, it's so interesting how it's so easy to spend money, go to the grocery store, you got to go buy gas. I mean, all these little things you don't think about. But as far as making money, most people are W-2 employees. They get paid weekly, biweekly, or monthly, and we're supposed to budget for what we spend throughout that time. So I think it's phenomenal that Mr. Yankee shared some information about budgeting, because people need to understand that, you know, that is a major part of the household.
Yes, yes, thank you. So that's well said, Marcus, and thank you for that. Mr. Yankee, Patrick, I wanted to ask you this question, which I believe is a fundamental basic that I even myself had to grow to learn about what we call today a relationship with money, and understanding that money has a mission. We talked about that on one of our previous shows, Patrick, about the mission. Do we believe that there is a misnomer or a missing element in the money game that we play today, as Marcus beautifully described, in the lack of understanding of money was created for a mission to move? Patrick?
I think sometimes we get lost in the large numbers. We used to be concerned when the federal government lost billions of dollars, and now that they're losing trillions of dollars, so we hardly bat an eye. And I think that kind of numbs the senses a little bit about what money actually means. As Mark has said, most of us are W-2 employees, and what money should mean is an hour earned or an hour spent in work for that dollar. And that dollar then represents the work that went into it. So when that money is going back out, we have to decide if the good that we're trying to buy is worth the time that I spent earning that dollar. We don't have a sense of delayed gratification anymore. We don't have a sense that when I see a big screen TV in the store, I came here to buy some eggs and milk, but look at that big screen TV, and wow, it's on sale. I've got a credit card. I should just go ahead and buy that. It's the opportunity cost of money that says, because I bought that big screen TV this month, I'm not going to be able to put gas in my car. I'm not going to be able to fully pay my rent. The opportunity cost of money is huge. And I think we've lost a certain sense of just what each dollar means. That dollar meant an hour of work. That dollar meant a month of work. It could mean years of work. One thing I love to point to people toward is, have you ever seen the movie Up? I think the first 15 minutes of Up is a great explanation of basic financial planning, where they're trying so hard to save for their dreams, and something always comes up. Tree falls on the house, major storms, whatever it is. They're constantly breaking the jar and taking the money out, and that's why everyone needs to have an emergency fund. Just as Marcus was saying, where his wife was hoping to have $100 left at the end of the month, but then something always comes up. The reality is something will always come up. And so a big part of our saving and our budgeting is having that extra $100, extra however much we need at the end of the month, that we can build an emergency fund that can carry us through the difficult times of life so that we don't have to raid our 401k. We don't have to raid our education funds for our kids. Whatever else we're trying to save for, the purpose that money is there for, we've segregated and said this money is about keeping me alive today. It's putting a roof over my head. It's putting food in my kids' bellies. But this money over here is about educating them. This money over here is about retirement. The money coming in is the product of your sweat and labor. The money going out has a purpose. There's a reason you have this money, and the reason that it's there, and the reason it's segregated to be the way it is. And if you don't have an emergency fund in place, then you're going to raid those goals and never reach those goals because every emergency is going to take away from those. So when you say money has a purpose, some of the purpose of that money is also to protect the purpose of the other money. That's the emergency fund that is foundational to make sure that we don't blow apart our goals with every emergency that comes toward us.
That's wonderfully said. That is the mission for our money. And it's amazing when we speak with the children, and Marcus, you can probably relate to this with the NFL, and the money, the numbers, and what that looks like, and the mindset, and the relationship. We've discovered that folks just don't have a healthy relationship with money. Money is an energy, and it has to move. As Patrick just said, money has to move to cover the rent, cover this. It has a mission. And it goes back, Patrick and Marcus, to that the five talents in the Bible that Jesus, that was given by the master to the servants. Talents, and he come back, and one we're going to say is money. Bird, he has hoarded it. The others took their money and multiplied it, divided and created more through addition and subtraction. So money has a mission, and I still believe that there's a lack of understanding in money. It's a good, healthy tool to use to achieve the mission and the vision. Would you have any additional comments to that, Marcus?
Yes, Christina. For example, there's a young man who was a first-round draft pick to the Buffalo Bills in 2017, Tre'Davious White out of LSU. I had a chance to meet him in Buffalo when I was hired by the Bills to speak to their rookies about life and management and how to be professional, during their careers and after their careers. So I got a chance to meet Tre'Davious and mentor him and watch him practice. He's going to be a phenomenal player. And I felt really bad for him because here's a kid, young kid, 21 years old, just drafted, and his all what he signed for, his entire signing bonus, what he had, was posted on the internet. So immediately his family, not just immediate family, you know, distant family, friends, was continuously calling him, wanting something, calling him. This is a guy, this is a young man who was dating his girlfriend. They have a young child. I think his son now is like, my daughter's 5 or 6. And, you know, I'm sorry, 4 or 5, excuse me. And it's interesting that, you know, I had to let him know, said, look, Tre'Davious, you are not responsible to give everybody money because they ask. If you want to help, that's the choice you make. Again, like Patrick said, that, you know, it's a dollar earned. Like, yes, he has a huge contract, but he's earning that money, right? I mean, his body's going to go through a ton.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
About 2 weeks ago, he did get a contract extension for 4 years for almost $70 million, 69 to be exact. So 4 years, $69 million, which I'm so happy for him. For a great player, he deserves it. But I told him the same thing. This is, like Patrick said, it's a tool, right? It's a resource. It does mean you should go out and start spending money frivolously because you have it. Because, again, you have to pay taxes on that money. You're going to have to put money away for your family. You have a young son. You're going to be getting married soon. You know, you're going to want to do things. You're going to want to, you know, when you're done for your career, you want to have something to show for it. Like, you don't just want to play football, have played for 10, 12 years, make great money like this, get out, and then you don't have anything saved for, and then, like you said, things come up. And when you make more money, if you don't budget properly or if you start to overspend, then you're going to have a real big issue with how to maintain your lifestyle. That's what I think a lot of athletes and young people need to understand, is that if you start to buy the big house, the big car, and all these different things, you put up an image. And once you have that image going and you stop working and playing ball or playing and getting those big checks coming in, those bills do not stop. So that's why business owners who own these big homes, like, they're, because they have a business that keeps going and going, where athletes, we have a short window to make a bunch of money, and we need to get in, make as much as we can, and we leave the game, like Patrick said, have something to show for all the time we have spent in the business. So, again, I think you all are both making some phenomenal points about management, budgeting, dollar earned. But again, so I want the young people to understand, if you want to be an athlete, at some point you will be an ex-athlete. So plan for those rainy days.
Mr. Yankee.
Yes, ma'am.
Would you have any additional, and Marcus, that's well said and so beautiful. I'm thinking about Chris Washburn. When you spoke about that NFL money, and he just didn't have the training at home and blew it on drugs and end of his career. But, Mr. Yankee, what does it say about stewardship of the money? Once we understand that money is the move, it has a mission, and we have a healthy relationship with money, we secure ourselves and understand after that it has to move into the good soil of the vineyards that we're working in. How does good stewardship come into play today?
Well, Marcus mentioned that you know, money is a tool. And the more tools you have in your toolbox, of course, the more problems you can solve. There are lots of problems in the world, and not all the problems in the world can be solved financially. However, most people that you're going to hire to work for you are going to demand some sort of compensation. And that's where money does make the world go round. Whatever you're reaching out to do, you know, businesses come into being to solve a need. We like to think that they come into being to gain a profit. But if they're not solving a problem in the world, they're not going to have customers that are going to pay whatever it is that needs to be paid to keep the business going. So, yes, a business wants to make a profit, but it does that by fulfilling a need. And in fulfilling that need, as people take advantage of the business and what it has to offer, they offer up the results of their wages, the money that they earn to that business in fulfilling that need. But we have to take the same approach with our own finances then and say, what is our money supporting? Where is our money going? We used to say that, as you're earning, 10% needs to go to the church, 10% needs to go to savings. And that is a very good approach, at least for starting out and recognizing that this money does have a purpose. It is out there supporting the goals of the church and the goals of conscience. Every now and then I run into folks that say, well, you know, these people that have these expensive homes and they have these expensive boats and they have these expensive cars, they're mismanaging money. No, they're not. It depends really on the heart that goes behind it. You know, if all they care about is money, homes, cars, and whatever else, then okay, you know, the root of all evil isn't money itself, it's the love of money. But in purchasing that home, there were craftsmen and artisans who were able to put their labor into that home. Same thing with the boats and cars. If there was no market for a high-end car, if there was no market for a high-end home or for a luxury yacht, then you've got a whole bunch of artisans in the world that that no longer have a purpose and have to find some other way to make a living. So there is a purpose to labor. There is a purpose to the money. And where we put our money is going to drive people's purpose. If we put our money toward the church, then the church can do more good for the world. If we put our money toward our local community and the things that we care about, or the schools that we went to try to raise up other students behind us, then we're fulfilling a higher purpose. And we have to recognize that wherever we have come from is a place that other people are coming from as well. And there's a certain responsibility to reach back and say, let me help you. As you're able to reach back to other folks and say, you know, what I have done is repeatable. And whether that's just with the words of your mouth, you may not have the resources that says I can fund scholarships or otherwise, but you can certainly pass on the message and say, this is how I've done what I've done, and I can help you do that. And so, you know, money ultimately is a representation of time. It's the time that you spend working. It's the time you're going to spend in retirement. As Marcus said, eventually as a pro athlete, you recognize your body is going to give out and you're not going to be able to do that forever. Well, that goes for all of us. That's called retirement. And the time that we spend working has to fuel that time that we're not going to be able to work, because our bodies will give out at some point. And then we'll be in retirement and we have to be prepared for that. But in doing so, we have to recognize the purpose that we put our time and our talent and our treasure to in building up people around us, in providing for their needs, both spiritually and physically, and recognizing that the tools that we have in our tool chest, that money, the time, the talents, can all be put to the glory of God and the kingdom around us.
Well said. Great stewardship examples there of our money. And Marcus, do you have any additional comments to add to our financial literacy preparation today for our tomorrow, and what the new America looks like when we are living a healthy, financial, prosperous life in 2020?
Well, I think just like you said, just like Patrick has said, it comes down to understanding and having knowledge and information. Right? I tell you all the time, knowledge is power, but applying knowledge is life-changing. And so what we need to do is we need to put into the retrospect exactly what we want to do in life. Be ambitious. I talk about this in our book. Set goals for yourself. If you want to retire a certain age, okay, great. How much work do you have to put in to get to that point? Perfect. But again, like Patrick says, you have to understand that the money you're making is going to drive things for your family, for your future. And it's all about managing that money and setting realistic expectations for yourself. Right? If you make $100,000 a year, you're going to go out and try to buy a house for $2 million. That's not realistic. But if you're making $6 million a year and you want to go buy a $2 million house, then that's fine. It fits your budget. So it's really about managing your expectations, managing your income, and being smart with it. Like, you know, Jeff Bezos bought an $80 million penthouse in New York City. But Jeff Bezos is worth over $200 billion. So again, you know, people have to look at that in different perspectives, right? It's all about understanding what you have, where you're trying to go, and managing your finances and having literacy and having knowledge and information to make the best informed decisions. But again, I'm gonna reiterate what Patrick said. I think it's so important. Budgeting, budgeting, budgeting. If you have money coming in, which is your income, things going out, your expenses, you always try your best to be in a position where you have more income coming in than expenses going out. The majority of our society, and Patrick knows this very well, lives paycheck to paycheck because they overspend. And that's not where you want to be. So in the new America, be bright, be knowledge-driven, and apply that knowledge to help your financial literacy and your finances be in the best state possible.
Well, that's great. That's why I'm so excited about the New America seminar tour that we're coming together to educate strategically, learn to earn what that looks like in 2020, and how we can all live a better life when we understand the value of money and its mission to create additional value and grow. I love this topic. Mr. Patrick Yankee, I know we have a few minutes left here. Do you have any final comments that you'd like to share with our listeners about how to get ready today, how they can start today where they are, particularly in COVID? A lot of businesses, are small businesses, are having to shut down and recalculate their business affairs after so many years. And then we'll wrap up, Marcus, with you closing out, giving us further information about Asheville. And this will complete our discussion until next week, because we've got to have a part two, Mr. Yankee, on finances. Please.
Absolutely. Well, I think it was Confucius that said the journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. So you have to begin with where you are. Take an assessment of the income coming in, the expenses going out, and manage those. Try to increase the income as much as able. Try to reduce the expenses going out as much as able. Try to not be a debtor, because then you're someone else's investment as you're paying interest on your debt. Try to have your own investments that are working and growing for your own future. Try to be a giver. You know, love is giving. Selfishness is taking. So try to be someone in this world that has more coming in from the fruit of their labor than is going out. And then you can be a giver to others and not be so concerned about what's coming to you, which is a more selfish worldview. You know, it's been said before that we make a living by what we earn, but we'll make a life by what we give.
Amen. Amen. Marcus?
So, like you said, Francina, you know, what we have coming up now is the New America Tour. And it's so exciting. The Coach Tate Foundation is now a member of the Asheville Chamber of Commerce, which is ranked number 3 in the nation, helping us have a local presence and trying to really drive more community impact into what we're doing. And again, we have our leadership awards. We're going to be at the Biltmore States. The mayor of Asheville is providing her proclamation that the governor has been invited. We also invite some people from the Charlotte Bobcats to attend, and many other great sponsors, corporate events, you know, corporate people in the community, trying to drive a really holistic impact for multicultural leadership to help improve workforce development. That event's going to be on November 28th and 29th. And again, it's going to be on November 19th and 20th. And again, it's such important for people to understand these events on the 19th and 20th of November are really about making a positive impact in the community to help drive real systemic change by having a huge positive multicultural leadership enhancement to improve workforce development. Again, November 19th and 20th in Asheville, North Carolina. You don't want to miss it.
Thank you. Thank you, Marcus, for that. And we also want to give Asheville their financial leadership by example. They've agreed to pay reparations, the first in history, and we'll hear more about that on the upcoming broadcast. But leading by example, and to all of our listeners, it's family time. It's time to get our financial affairs in order so we can lead by example today for our tomorrow. We're all one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Until next week, same time, same station. Praise 107.9, Jacksonville, Florida. I am Francina Tate Hollis, your hostess, and Marcus Osteen, your co-host.
Thank you for joining Francita Hallress on Empowered Family Talk. Tune in next week.